I'll ask you the question. I know you're not a big fan of, and congratulations, by the way, on your pick of the Royals in four. I know you're not a big fan of dynasties and talking about dynasties, but try to put what the Giants have done in perspective, considering the way the game is played now, considering that everything seems to be skewed towards giving everybody more chances to qualify for the postseason.
Well, first of all, I don't know that I'm not a big fan of dynasties.
Well, let me rephrase that. I know you don't like necessarily getting the, you don't like sort of the general, we got to put a name on something, right? You don't necessarily like that approach. We got to put a name on something.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm with you that this is a dynasty of 3 and 5 years. But also, if you did, if you're an avid listener to our Sunday morning Degenerate Gambler show, and you listen back in spring training, you will note that I did pick the San Francisco Giants to win the World Series as back in March as one of the wagering risks that was a good idea to take. But anyway, as far as I was too busy correcting you, what was the question again?
Do we consider them a dynasty?
Yeah, you have to. How can you not? I mean, and like you said, especially given how many more teams make the playoffs now, and you know, it's easier to get in, it's tougher to win. Short series, anything can happen, and to win it 3 times in 5 years, when you have to win often, usually 11 playoff games in a postseason, and sometimes 12, like the Giants did this year. How can you not be?
Madison Bumgarner's performance yesterday, obviously, as I said, I think it's safe to say it's one for the ages. But as someone who's watched a lot of baseball, the thing that kind of surprised me about this is, I mean, I can think back to Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. I can think back to other times where I've seen starters come into games in relief in the postseason, and you kind of always have that point where you look at the guy and you go, okay, is this where the manager brings another pitcher in? Is this where it ends? Is this the matchup he doesn't like? And I got to tell you, Mike, even when Alec Gordon got the third base, I was sitting there thinking, boy, if I'm Bruce Bochy, I'm letting Madison Bumgarner get out of this. I don't know if I have ever seen or been in a position where I watched a game where starting pitchers come in relief and I just sort of expected him to run it out, you know, unless it went 14 innings or 15 innings. I just expected him to run it out, to figure a way out of it.
Yeah, the only one I can think of is that game in Cleveland where Pedro came out of the bullpen for the Red Sox and pitched 6 innings.
Yeah, and Pedro was hurt and he was throwing right from side-armed. And that is another example. That's a good
but
example.
He wasn't on short rest.
No.
Right? He had missed time because he was hurt, so he came back there. But, yeah, like in 2001, Randy Johnson started Game 6 and came out of the bullpen in Game 7, but he only got 4 out.
Mm-hmm.
He was very effective at doing it. But there's always that point in time where it's like, how far can you push this guy and how much are you going to be able to squeeze out of him? And there really didn't seem to be that with Bumgarner last night. At one point, he retired 14 guys in a row, and he did it easy. And you know, Bruce Bochy said, yeah, we're keeping an eye on his innings. They were really easy innings,
mm-hmm.
and they were. And so as long as the guy's out there not breaking a sweat and getting people out, why would you take him out, especially when you've seen the Giants? I mean, Romo and Casillas have been pretty good, and Affeldt, but the rest of the Giants' pen has been quite unreliable in these playoffs.
Mike Wilner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590.
You know what's kind of interesting, Jeffrey?
Yep. Go ahead.
These 3 World Series wins for the San Francisco Giants, they've had a different ace every year.
Mm-hmm.
And each time they've had him, he's been in his mid to early 20s. And we've been talking about how phenomenal he's going to wind up being.
And he never does.
He took him in 2010, Matt Cain in 2012. And they never do.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to see, A, who the Giants' ace will be when they win the World Series in 2016, and two, what happens to Madison Bumgarner the rest of the way.
Well, I mean, in the case of Tim Lincecum, injuries and just, I think, maybe just wear and tear, his delivery caught up to him. Matt Cain was hurt. You're absolutely right. And not only that, I mean, they've effectively, I was going to say they've done it with three different closers. That's not entirely true because I think, well, yeah, actually it is. I mean, yeah, Sergio, yeah, sure. It is because it's Brian Wilson, Sergio Romo, and Santiago Casillas. So
yep.
As well as that, there's three different closers. But what I find remarkable about this, and I don't know if it's a chicken and egg thing, and I don't know if it's because they've won this many championships that they've kept the team together, or because they've kept the team together, they've won this many championships. But I look at this organization, when you have eight players who have been part of all three championships, even though it's only a five-year run, you have eight players on what is still not an old team. I mean, you're talking guys, Buster Posey should just be in his prime. Crawford should just be in his prime. Panic's young. Yeah, I know he hasn't been there for all three World Series. But it really is, I think, kind of a testament to stability. And, you know, we always, Mike, we want to find lessons every year. And what can we learn from this team in the World Series? And what can we learn from this team that won the Super Bowl? And et cetera, et cetera. And, Mike, I'm beginning to think that maybe people just need to understand that there is something to be said for stability in baseball. Not everybody is going to get better year after year after year after year, but there's something to be said for sticking with what you know, having a manager who knows how to use what you have, and riding out the blips. There really is.
There is. And what's interesting, I mean, they've added bits and pieces. Hunter Pence came over for the run in 2012, and really it's only Sandoval and Posey who've been there out of the position players. What's interesting to me is that four of those eight guys are relievers, right? Mm-hmm. Romo, Casilla, Lopez, and Appel.
Mm-hmm.
And bullpens are notoriously volatile year in and year out, and maybe that's why the Giants have only won every other year. But every other year, those guys have been pretty fantastic. And you know, Romo hasn't really had a down year. Casilla has. Lopez has. Appel's been pretty steady. But, you know, if you stick with them through the ups and downs and don't get rid of them after the downs, then, you know, they come back and they have ups again, and it repays your faith in them.
Yeah, Mike, I would argue, too, given how many teams now make the playoffs, you almost have an excuse for stability, if you want to call it that. I don't know if excuse is the right word, but You can almost sell yourself on the fact that you can be rewarded by not having constant turnover.
Well, it's definitely easier to make the playoffs now than it was 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and than it was 20 years ago. And so you don't have to be as good. And maybe that means, I don't know. I mean, I still think you need to scratch for every edge you can possibly
right.
get. But I think stability is a bit of an edge, too, if you have the right guys. And when you look to at the Giants, and it's very difficult to imagine Pablo Sandoval leaving, because you look how much they overpaid Hunter Pence to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
They overpaid Javi Lopez to stick around. You know, a left-handed, really a one-out guy in your bullpen who you think they're a dime a dozen. They wanted to keep him. They gave him a bunch of money, more than anybody else would have. And they get criticized for these things, but they keep their players, and they win championships. So that's the science behind what they're doing, I guess.
Did you have any issue with the way Game 7 was managed by Ned Yost or the way it developed?
A little. I mean, I might have gotten Jeremy Guthrie out after three and said thank you very much.
Yeah.
Instead of sending him back out there to start the fourth. But I don't think you can really argue with the manager sending a starting pitcher out for the fourth inning in a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gotten Josh Willingham into the game. Josh Willingham, the lefty killer, he's got power, he walks. It's a one-run game. You didn't use him, and instead Mike Moustakas batted against Madison Bumgarner they're all big spots late in a one-run game. Norichka Aoki, who did kill lefties this year, mm-hmm. but who's 0 for 18 lifetime against Bumgarner, swung the bat against him twice. Ned Yost is big on leaving bullets in the chamber. I mean, he gave Jason Nix more at-bats in the National League Park than he gave to Billy Butler and Josh Willingham combined. And Willingham could have been used yesterday
yeah.
in three different spots at least. And give you a chance to tie the game with one swing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I've gone back over that last inning and the last couple of innings, and, you know, it's really kind of nitpicking. But the first thing I thought of as well, and look, I know Sal Perez is their everyday guy. He's the number one catcher, but he could barely move after getting hit by that pitch. And I'm thinking to myself, man in on third, boy, I don't know. Maybe I take my shot with Willingham there even because I've got a catcher who can't run. And if I get a ground ball, you know,
yeah,
out at first base. Now, that's really splitting hairs. I realize Willingham's he's not going to be in a 4-by-1 relay team either. So that's really splitting hairs. But I'm with you. I can't believe you lose a one-run game. A game in which you had a couple of lefties, and admittedly one lefty splits don't favor don't really favor one side or the other, and you still have Josh Willingham there. I was absolutely stunned. I mean, guys on Twitter, guys like Keith Law were saying this is why you have Josh Willingham. This is where you use him. And that's my one second guess. I would think of Ned Yost. I'm with you about Guthrie. You probably in hindsight would have done that, but do you really hammer in a guy because he sent his starter out for the fourth inning? You know,
there was also the Alcides Escobar bunt in the fifth. After Bumgarner comes on, he gives up the leadoff single to Infante, and then you turn the lineup over. You have your leadoff man up. You're down a run. It's a 2-0 count, and he's still bunting.
Mm.
You know, it's the Ned Yost philosophy. When he feels like he really needs a run, and the leadoff man gets on, and he did it four times in the wild card game.
Right.
You always got that second hitter bunting, and I hate giving up outs from the top of the lineup. And who knows if you don't give them an out right there, maybe you get to Bumgarner.
Mm-hmm. Mike Wilner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. How do you think baseball feels about this World Series? I mean, we know we're going to have the usual ratings are going to be soft stories, and I think we just kind of assume now that national ratings for World Series games are, I mean, as long as Fox is happy and they're paying out the money, I think baseball probably doesn't spend a lot of time losing sleep over ratings. But I think from Major League Baseball's point of view, Mike, they have to be happy that they got through a postseason, and by and large, video review was okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can only remember three or four times where it was used. It overturned the call on the stupid head first slide in the first by Aaron Hosmer last night.
One of the dumbest things I've seen in a World Series game.
Maybe this will finally teach people not to do it, but replay served its purpose, and the umpires, for the most part, were pretty good. You saw, it was Bochy who got upset about that fair foul call and double down the line, and the call was right. The ball went right over the bag, so they didn't even challenge that. I think they've got to be thrilled with the way replay was used so little in the playoffs when it was so much more important because the umpires were pretty good. Ratings, I think, in the 700-channel universe, you're not going to get ratings like you used to get, but they've got to be very happy with this World Series. It wasn't, you know, only two of the seven games were decided by fewer than five runs, but there were two very compelling stories. It went the route. Game 7 was fantastic, and that's what people are going to remember. This was a great World Series.
And, you know, the other aspect of that, too, Mike, is this is it's a story that wasn't reported that heavily, but this is the first time, because of video review, that Major League Baseball actually, instead of just grading their umpires based on what the umpire supervisor's report said, they actually sat down and said, all right, who had the best record of calls holding up under video review this year? And they picked the top four guys in terms of having most of their calls hold up. And you know, it was a different umpiring crew in the past. A lot of it was based on seniority. A lot of it was kind of based on, you know, who you knew. I mean, there were some guys who were always there. Joe West was always there. I think baseball has to be really pleased with what it got out of its umpires, because we're always going to quibble about balls and strikes. But again, this was a pretty clean World Series in terms of controversy. And I think maybe that video review served its purpose in that way as well, and that maybe we're never going to be able, I don't think, for a few years to actually narrowed down the whole issue of the strike zone. We're always going to have a debate about that. But I think if you can pick umpires with a track record of making the right calls on close calls, to me that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. It's too bad it was only four and not all seven. But it's moving forward. It's baby steps, and they're starting to realize how important this stuff is. And I think that's wonderful.
Mr. Wilner, good to talk to you as always. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about in the offseason because the offseason started, well, it's as our friend Joel Sherman said about an hour after the World Series, Alex Rodriguez is now officially a Yankee again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it started already.
Blue Jays have option decisions to make in the next 3 days on Adam Lind and Dustin McGowan and Brandon Morrow. So all kinds of stuff's going to be happening soon. There is no offseason.